part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here. Mikey Meatballs behind the glass. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And with me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, and Darren the Parlay Kid. What is up, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How you doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Yes. Our second show of the week, we're going to preview the World Series. We're going to give out our picks, our prop picks, our MVP selections. Oh, and our good friend, brave superfan, Sarah Tiana, will be on. We're going to see. Maybe she'll even watch tonight. I don't know. She gets so crazy with these games. I don't know. It's going to be a close series. Well, we'll get down to it. Lots of controversy, though. I want to start off. These guys pick games every day. Free picks, extrapoints.com. Check it out. And Parlay Kid, you went out there and you made a claim that Harry was late July? What was his record?
Yeah. Well, basically, if you remember, Harry had a nice winning streak in like June.
Don't remember that.
Maybe like 15 straight, something incredible. It was great. Yeah.
18 to 21.
Since then, after another loss last night, he is now 11-74.
Wow.
His extra points picks. And that is we're not including Sharp Tank, any of those other picks. We're just including
just the free
his extra
picks
point
with the
picks.
Videos. Yeah.
It's incredible.
I feel like, and Harry's just spiraling out of control. And now he's got two best bets of the year lose in a matter of 7 days. He's doing his videos with the emoji heads now. I don't know. I kind of think like.
It's Halloween week.
Harry, did you win the last time you didn't you do this once before? Did you win with that emoji head before?
Not if it was in the last 3 months. He didn't.
Gosh, I don't know. I went shirtless on that one. Thank God I didn't go. I didn't have the audacity to go shirtless in this one.
You know,
last night's was rough too.
Time to get back in the hot tub, Harry.
I know. Maybe submerge yourself for good. It was a boring Monday night football game. Saints won and didn't cover. It was a 13-10 final. Parlay Kid called Metcalf first touchdown. What was that? +850? Good
plus
job.
+850,
right?
Metcalf. I think did we hit on the game? I know I had Seattle getting the 4.5, but somebody I think I went the other way. I had the under, actually.
That was a good call.
That was good. All right, I had the Saints. Bri, you and I had the Saints. I mean, that safety would have been fun at the end.
Oh my gosh.
How about Geno Smith? Three game-winning drives in three games. I mean, not that he completed them. He was 0-for-3, but three chances at game-winning drives in three starts.
It's funny, Sal, because I was up 5 points in fantasy, and my opponent had the Saints defense. So I was there was almost a pick six right there. But I was I wanted to cover for the bet, and then I was like, shit, but if they score here on that pitch, that easily could have been a pick six.
Right, for sure.
I would have lost my
fantasy. I had Kamara. I adjusted his receiving yards, I think, to over 40. That was plus money. Man,
that was awesome.
We could have adjusted it to 100. I mean, that was he had 8 receptions in the first half. Harry, you had the tight end to have over 1.5. You gave everybody a -170 winner. So that's good. That's a step in the right direction, I think. A lot of talk about this Brady 600 touchdown ball. Mike Evans catches it. He screws up. He gives a milestone touchdown ball to a fan. And now they took it back. I don't know what they initially offered the fan, but the fan requested to play around the golf with Tom Brady. They were like, no, that ain't happening. So to make good, they gave him 2 signed jerseys, a helmet from Tom, a signed Mike Evans jersey, his game cleats, $1,000 credit at the Bucks store, a team store, 2 season tickets for the remainder of the season and next. And then they threw in at the end a $63,000 Bitcoin from Brady. Am I missing anything, Babyface? Is that it? I think that's it, right? $63,000. Is it his Bitcoin, or are they just like, hey, just give this to him? It's like when you go to a party, like, yeah, this is from all of us. I don't know. He has Bitcoin laying around the house. But it made me think, what would you guys demand or ask for, if anything? I don't know. On one hand, it was his ball. He should get to keep it once it's handed to him. On the other hand, Jesus Christ, you're going to a game. Like, really? You have to be made a millionaire here because you got this ball that doesn't really belong to you? Harry, go ahead. What would you want?
Sure. Listen, call me a scumbag. I'd want more money, a lot more money. Mm. And that's that. That's it.
Harry's learned at the foot of one of the best, his friend and our friend, Ken, who I can only imagine what the hell He Ken would add, I want season tickets for the rest of my life. Tom Brady has to drive me to Aspen and then the airport, and he has to compliment my $400 hair. I have no idea what Ken would ask for in this situation. I think as a football fan, I would just be like, just take the ball. I don't care. Just don't screw me in my bets, and don't screw me in fantasy, Brady, and get out of my way. Parlay Kid, what about you?
Sal, I agree with that. That's how I feel. I think I just would have given the ball. I don't think I would have thought about it again until maybe going online and see the other Darren Rovell of the world saying, "Oh, this kid, right. this guy, they got screwed. They should have gotten all this money." Come on, it's a football. You do the right thing. You give the ball back, and by the good graces of you doing that, hopefully good things come your way, like maybe season tickets, whatever it is. Not asking for it. Come on. Give me a break.
You can't do the whole good thing, pay it forward. None of that ever matters anymore, Brian.
Well, I was going to say, though, did they negotiate this after, or did they actually give them the ball right away? Were they holding on to the ball until?
He took the ball. The security guard took the ball and fist pumped him and everything. I think that was on camera, right?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. So I was just saying, like, you know, they gave them all this stuff anyway after it.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they were just like, here's two tickets to the next game?
No, you can't do it because of the bad publicity that follows with it. Unless you got this guy has to become Jeff Bezos.
I guess so. I mean, I would do the same thing, I think, as you guys. I'd probably, in the end, I'd probably chicken out and get dog shit.
Right.
But it would be cool probably just to ask, like, before one of the games to go on the field and have a catch with them or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Or start running some patterns.
That'd be fun.
Now, I think that'd be fun.
Our guy Tony Romo is taking some heat here. I don't know. It's just one writer from, as far as I could tell, from Yahoo. Because, you know, they had the whole pre-negotiation part of it on camera. And Romo's like, oh, this guy, look at him. He could ask for the world here. Yeah, I want a date with Giselle. Get me a date with Giselle. Offhanded remark. Laugh, you know, everybody. Nance is laughing. Everybody's laughing about it. And someone writes an article like, this is wrong. This is bad for society. You can't see this. The women can't be meant to be property. I was like, it was a joke. It was a goddamn joke. And if it was the other way around, and if there was a prize package that Giselle was giving out for modeling, and some commentator said, oh, give me a date with your husband, Tom, everybody would just laugh it off and go on their merry way. But nope, those days are over, Parlay Kid. I know we can't talk about this too much because we'll get canceled. That'll be that. But Jesus Christ.
Trying to cancel Tony Romo? What is the world coming to?
Right.
Come on.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Look at all the help he does for people in fantasy leagues through Corona, that on the island on the phone. And you're going to cancel that guy? No. No. Not
only Harry has done that.
Right. Harry did worse. He stalked him at a Halloween party. But we'll get to Halloween stuff later. We're going to want to pick our most overrated and underrated candy. Babyface Joel Solomon, do you have anything to say about this ball before we get going here?
I mean, I'm a huge Steelers fan. And I mean, since Tom spent years beating the Steelers and making them call his daddy, I would ask him to give me a mouth kiss just like the rest of his kids.
Nice. There you go. See, you know what? You're canceled, Joel. Pack your bags. Leave the meeting. You can't say things like that. That's it.
Then I would want him to admit he cheated then.
All right. Hey, game one tonight. Astros, Braves are in Houston at the Juice Box. Framber Valdez, Charlie Morton. Astros a -136 favorite. We'll get to the series in a second. But for game one tonight, the over-under is 8.5. I'm going Astros. I'm a Valdez guy. I've bet him the last, I don't know how many times, probably his last 7 or 8 stat. Now, I had him with the Grand Slam outing, too. That wasn't fun. But postseason, 4-1, 39 innings pitched, a whip of 1.15, 39 strikeouts. I think he can keep them at bay, the Braves. And as far as a prop goes for game one, Kyle Tucker will score a run. This is way high, guys. +155. So he bats sixth. So he has to have a plus by his name, I guess. But when you have Gurriel and Chaz McCormick batting after you, 7th and 8th, it's not so bad. He scored a run in 7 of the last 9 games. 14 stolen bases this season. I think he led the league in triples in 2020. He gets on. He's fast. I love +155. Harry, jump in here. You like an Astros here too, prop.
Yeah, plus Tucker's, by the way, Sal, batting .375 in the playoffs. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Carlos Correa at +130 to score a run. As well. He's got 9 runs in 10 playoff games. He scored in the last 3 versus Boston and 5 of the last 6 in the playoffs. 10 of his last 12 games he scored, and 8-2 scoring a run in his last 10 home games. Carlos Correa, great world. He's got World Series history too, experience. So at plus 130, I think that's a pretty good price as well for Correa to score a run.
All right, Brian, let's keep the Astro love alive. I don't know. I'm not sure how once Valdez takes the mound, I don't know how hard I'll root for this cheating team, but I can't root for the Braves. What are you going with?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Yordan Alvarez to score a run. I do like a lot of these to score a run props, especially if you think there's going to be a bunch of runs in these series. But yeah, man, I used to think Alvarez was one of those guys that you could get out in this lineup. I was never really feared him, but man, all of a sudden, geez, in that Red Sox series, he became like Barry Bonds. He was impossible to get out. He scored in five straight games. He has 7 runs in 5 games. I think he has 9 hits in the last 3 games. So I think I would expect him to continue to be hot, especially put up good production at home as the DH. But I do like him here to score a run.
You could expect a lot of runs, I think, too. I don't know. At least the trends tell us. Game 1 of the World Series, last 11, 8-3. The over's gone 8, hit 8 times out of the last 11. Combined runs, 9.3. Astros this postseason are over 8-2, 11 combined runs. Yeah, so that's where I'm going. All right, Parlay Kid, you're straying here. Going with Riley for a home run.
Yeah, I'm going to take Riley. You know, Sal, there's 2 thoughts I have right here. I could go from just to hit a home run today at plus 250. I don't really love that as much. I thought I liked it, but now I'm kind of wavering off it. So I'm going to go Riley first home run at plus 800, unless that's changed at plus 800. Riley, man, is there... What a super underrated.
Harry doesn't like that. Harry's making noises. He already doesn't like it. He got the ooh out of him.
My gosh, you all right, Harry?
I could hit, dude.
Yeah, look, I'm willing to risk now, like taking these. Like I'm on such a nice run. I think I deserve to take a long shot here where I don't have to feel the pressure of making an awesome pick. I'm going to roll the dice on just a big one. Riley, what a super bat. This kid is young. If this kid was in New York, forget it. Like he's sitting in Atlanta. He doesn't get as much publicity as he should. Fantastic player, great power. I think he takes advantage of the stadium. And maybe he gets one early here, and I don't have to sweat this out. But let's go first home run. It gives him a chance maybe not to have to worry about hitting one in his first at bat. Maybe he gets one in his second and third today, Sal. Take him at plus 800.
You know, I will say FanDuel has some good props though for like player to hit most home runs or most RBIs for the whole series. They have some ones out there too.
Yes.
FanDuel.com/against all odds. Get all your betting needs taken care of there. Yeah, I was just trying to look at home run. Who is the favorite to hit the first home run? Is it Alvarez? I'm trying to think. Where is, I know I look at this and okay.
It might be home run.
The favorite is Alvarez and Solera plus 750.
They are the favorite. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
All right, but it's all bunched up. Albies and Riley are 8-1.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right, so now the World Series. Astros were minus 154. Favorites down to 150. I'm going Stros in 6, plus 420. I just think they keep it going. They roll it. You know, I know everyone's on a roll here. You can't say the Braves are on a roll. But the Braves, I won't take anything away from them, but they beat up on a beat-up Dodgers team injury-wise. So they kind of got lucky. The Astros, meanwhile, if they could... They had a little momentum taken away from them. Last 3 games of the ALCS, 23 runs scored, 3 allowed, .303 batting average, opponent batting average, .111, 111. And it seems rudimentary, but I'm thinking the long ball could be the difference. It usually isn't in October, but so far, and this would make sense, the team who has out-homered the other team is 20-1. Last year, 25-5. In the playoffs, I think Astros have the advantage there. Alvarez, Correa, Tucker already has 4. He got 100 out of those 3 for the regular season. Altuve, even though he's batting .200 in the playoffs, has 3 home runs. So I think he comes alive in this series. Astros in 6 is plus 420 or take him minus 154. And all 3 of you are against me, Harry. You're going back to your old favorite team.
Yeah, my old favorite team. I'm taking the Braves. Look, I got solid pitching here out of Morton and Fried. Both had 14 wins this season, 2 solid starters to go up against the Astros hitters who have been fantastic in the playoffs right now. But Ronald Acuna Jr., nobody gave the Braves a chance to even make the playoffs, let alone the World Series. They did it. They closed the season winning 12 of 14, including sweeping the Phillies when Philadelphia still had a chance for the division. Rosario, Freeman, Peterson all have 3 home runs in the playoffs this season. Braves, why not? Let's go against the cheaters. Let's take the Braves and get a first championship in quite some time.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the Astros are doing this so far as we could tell. They haven't even cheated. Wait till they start cheating. Then they're going to just crush everyone, Brother Brian.
I know. This. I don't know. To me, this could be a pick against the Astros for me, but God, I hope the Astros don't win this one. So I do think this could be the Braves' year, though. They're just a really well-rounded team. Their lineup is really underrated. It's funny, when you go through and you're like, you know, you go to Albies, Freeman, Riley, Soler being back, and then like, you know, that's not even, Rosario by far was their best player in the last series too. And then I think their starting pitching is better, especially that McCullers is out. The Braves bullpen has been great. Minter kind of looks like how he used to look a few years ago. Smith has been really good in the playoffs. So I think they just have a little bit of an advantage or decent advantage in the pitching staff. And I don't think the lineups are that different. So give me the Braves here.
All right. And Parlay Kid, another one. Clean sweep out of the D3 for
the
Braves.
Look, it's almost impossible for me to root for the Astros anyway. The only way I would root for them is if I had a lot of money on them. So let's go with the Braves at +125 to win the series. Sal, the Braves, since the trade deadline, have been one of the best teams in baseball anyway. With they're winning baseball at a... at least in the regular season.
It's the Mets' fault. They had like probably 1 or 2 bigger lead on the Braves by the trade deadline. They're sellers, the Braves.
The Braves didn't get above 500 until after the trade deadline.
I know.
They've played almost 66% winning ball. They're winning two out of every 3 games from the trade deadline to the end of the season. So they've been one of the best teams. Morton, Fried, Anderson, I'll take them over the Astros staff. These guys have a higher ceiling to dominate games compared to the Astros staff, especially without McCullers, Freeman, Riley, Albies, Rosario, Swanson. You know, what I like about this Braves team, Sal, Freeman, Riley, Swanson, Albies all played 156 games or more this year. They played. They play baseball. I watched the Yankees. They give guys days off day after day. These Braves like to play. They want to win. It's their time. They've played great baseball since August. They're rolling. Let's go with the Braves. There's something good there. America's team right now. For the next 2 weeks, they are America's team.
Oh, you sound like Clay Travis now. All right, but here's the thing. I will he called the Titans America's team. Even more foolish statement. I will say this, Parlay Kid. When did it switch for you? Because there was a year. Now, your older brother, John, is a big Mets guy, big National League guy. You never would have rooted or picked
Interleague just messed it up, Sal.
What it was?
Since Interleague.
You might have trouble in 86 rooting for the Red Sox, but I can't imagine you would ever root for the National League team. Ever.
Growing up, John and I would argue about not just who was better, the Yankees or the Mets, and we always knew it was really the Yankees. It was never really a comparison. But we'd argue, the Yankees are in a better division. The Mets are in a better division, whatever it was.
Paul O'Neill, he didn't do anything in the National League. Look what he did when he went to the Yankees. All these arguments memorized.
That's when it, Sal, that's when it was just you played in the American League or National League. So when you had a player go from like the NL to the AL and he lit it up in the AL, which was much more common back at that time to go from the AL and light it up in the NL. At least I like to think it was. But that's we would do that. Was. Now, since Interleague, it doesn't matter. The Astros are a National League team anyway, Sal. Happen to be renting space in the American League.
I guess so. That's a way to look at it. All right, let's go MVP now. Now, this is an interesting one here. FanDuel, hit it up. FanDuel.com/against all odds. Jose Altuve, I told you, batting 200. Is he batting 200 for the playoffs, Harry? I know even less in the 200. Red Sox series. He's still favored to win the MVP. Now, this is a World Series award, right? This isn't playoffs.
Right.
Although when I looked this up, who won the last 10 or whatever, it all had all the everybody's playoff stat. It was very weird. But 8 out of the 10 last 10 years, it's been a position player. It hasn't been a pitcher. I need it to be. I got screwed 1 year, right, with the Strasburg thing. Who was it? Bri, you remember. I got screwed hard that year, but. You always see how they're like, it's a big moment. It's, you know, when you bet these and whether it's NCAA championship and you're good for the MVP, you look for the positioning where they're standing in the background, versus Joe Buck. And like, you really try to finagle. But Altuve 10-1, Brantley 10-1, Bregman 10-1. So those are, and Alvarez 10-1.
Yeah.
Those are your favorites. Freeman 11-1, Correa 12, Max Fried 14-1. So then you got the pitchers going, starting there. I'm going Yuli Gurriel 27-1. 27-1. World Series career, 14 games, is batting 500 with runs in scoring position, 8 extra base hits. Against the Red Sox, batted 455 in the playoffs, 520 on base percentage, 6 RBIs. Why is this guy 27-1? I'll bet a Brave or two in that. I don't care, but Gurriel at 27-1? Why the hell wouldn't I take that? That's my MVP pick. Harry, what do you like?
I'll go Braves. Eddie Rosario at 17-1. He's batting 474 in the playoffs. Hit the line drive home run to put Atlanta in the World Series against Los Angeles. Been red hot in the playoffs. 18 hits in the playoffs. He's got a hit, at least one hit in every single playoff game. He was 14 of 25 in the series against the Dodgers. Unsung hero, Eddie Rosario for MVP, 17-1. Great value.
Now there's a whole thing, and we're all gonna pull up stats about these guys, ALCS and NLCS stats. I was reading something about these guys that do well. I don't know what the metric was, but they have MVPs for the ALCS and NLCS. Did they? I think they did.
Rosario,
right?
Rosario won it.
Right, Rosario. Right. So those guys, they go on to play subpar ball in the World Series. Oh, like 28 out of 31. Yeah. Went down considerably. Daniel Murphy, first that jumps in my head, you know, 2015,
yeah, but
from the Cubs to the Royals, that series. But all right, so let's keep it going. You have Rosario. I, of course, cited Gurriel's stats. Brother Bri, who you like?
Yeah, it's funny because I was looking that up too, because I was wondering if that was the case. I do think Seager won the LCS MVP and the World Series MVP.
So, easy anomaly, I think.
It's right. one of the anomalies. But yeah, I'm going to go with Albies at 20-1. I thought those numbers were pretty high. You know, you got to like the Braves three-headed monster, right, between Albies, Freeman, and Riley. And again, you know, there are plenty of other guys in this lineup. But the thing was, Albies hasn't even hit for power at all. He doesn't have a home run in the playoffs. And yet you still see his impact on the field, right? He scored a run in 7 straight games. He has a hit in 9 straight. He can beat you in many different ways. And I think it's only a matter of time where he goes off and has a couple big, big home runs here. So I just like that, those 20-1 odds there.
Yeah, I might take a few of them, and rather than sit through 5 hours of games and biting my hands off, you know, right? Like, by, if you take 4 of these guys in the 20 range, 25, probably one of them still alive by game 4, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe my math isn't right. Parlay Kid playing it a little bit safer with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, I'm going to take Freddie. I mean, he's, you know, he's 11-1 plus 1,100 here to take home the MVP. I think he's the Braves' best player. He had a 444 on base percentage in the NLCS. And yet he hasn't really heated up yet in these playoffs. So he's been solid and consistent. But I think he's, like Brian was saying with Albies, I think Freeman's due to go on a little bit of a run here for the Braves. And what I like about Freeman is he hits everybody, lefties, righties, good pitching, bad pitching. It doesn't really matter. He's got this, one of the sweetest swings in the game. He's super consistent. And at 11-1, I know he's not, it's not the value you guys gave out, but I think that's still pretty good value for maybe the best, the Braves' number one hitter in that lineup.
Yeah.
And he walks a lot, which is big in today's game. You know, again, his on-base percentage is going to be high. I think he adds a few homers in this series. I think he's going to get hot power-wise a little bit. I'd love to see the guy win it, too. He's a great guy. Seems like a great person. And I think the voters will like him. They like him, too. So I think if it's close, he's going to get some swing votes.
There you go. All right. So I go Gurriel, Harry Rosario, Bri Albies, and Parlay Kid Freeman. We'll put these out on a graphic. We'll put them on the Extra Points Pod social channel of all our picks there. We have Sarah Tiana, Brave Superfan, coming up in a minute. All right, let's do Sharp Tank. We passed on this yesterday. Your best bets, guys, for Tuesday, Wednesday. Actually, you know what, Harry? We went back and forth. We're going to give you a break here. We're giving you a leave of absence with the emoji heads. I feel like you're having a little bit of a mental breakdown. Let's get you into gambling detox. By the way, what was your pick anyway? It was like a hockey game, an over-under in a hockey game.
Well, I was going to give my hockey play of the year, but, you know.
Harry, I'm glad you think it's a joke. You're losing everybody money. You're losing credibility. We got to give you a little break here.
Yeah, sorry. This is not a suspension.
It's
not a suspension, right? It's just like,
I don't know.
I need a break. I do need a break.
It's a mental health day.
That's right. It's a mental health day. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Hit us up. What you think Harry's punishment, if any, should be. I mean, he picked two games of the year in a matter of 7 days. He lost both of them by like four touchdowns combined. And now he's just taking the sport of gambling. He's just not taking it serious enough, I don't think. Emoji heads.
Maybe that's my problem. Maybe that's why I went with emoji head and went against what I really thought in the game for today's pick in my video. Because I'm taking it too seriously. I got too many good stats and they go against me. So I'm going against it. I don't know.
You'll still do extra points pick. Maybe Harry will be kind enough to give out his over-under in a game that doesn't have a line right now. I don't know what you were going to do.
Use this for Wednesday. This will be Wednesday's extra points pick.
There you go. Okay. So keep him. Note that Mikey Meatballs that Harry, we're going to say suspended in the graphic, the Shark Tank graphic that goes out today. But Brother Bri is not suspended. He's going strong. You guys are big on the basketball. I've watched parts of games. I haven't watched a full game. The closest I was with that was that Knicks Celtics game. I got to get it back into it during the week. You like the Warriors tonight, Brett?
Yeah, I like the Warriors -9. I was looking at that Knicks game, but you don't even know is Embiid playing? Is he not playing? Maybe he's not playing. But I know Gilgeous Alexander was out for most of last year, right? But the Warriors beat the Thunder last year by an average of 33 points per game, and that was in three games. This Thunder team has gotten blown out in all three games so far, including a 33-point loss to the Rockets. The Warriors are playing well. They're 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 regular season games. Give me a blowout win for the Warriors here to cover the 9.
All right. I like that. And by the way, you cannot look me in the eye and say that Steph Curry isn't the MVP right now. This is my thing. That's my new thing. Every 3 days, I did it with Giannis after the first game with the extra points guys. I think I pivoted to Kevin Durant. Every 3 days, I'm gonna make a ridiculous claim like that. So, but I do have Curry to win MVP. All right, Parlay Kid, Knicks.
Yeah. So look, I hit this prop a lot last year with RJ Barrett. Barrett, I think by all accounts, and I think he'd admit it too, with exception of the second half in the Celtics game 1, and maybe into overtime, was the only time he's played good basketball so far this year. Last year, he was averaging about 17 points a game. He's well off that clip right now. He's had some bad games. We're only looking at basically over 14.5 points at -108 right now for him to go over. He's due for a big game. These guys don't go long stretches without playing good basketball, having a hot game. Barrett's due to go over this 14.5 against the Sixers team tonight. I think this is pretty good value, and I really like this bet. I'm going to be hammering it tonight myself. And so I'm also coming off a Shark Tank win of Vittori. Vittori, +200 to win by decision. Easy money.
Saturday night, another five-round fight.
Bam. Harry, this little layoff might do you good. Since I was suspended, my Shark Tank record has been phenomenal. This might be the best thing. Mine lasted a lot more than yours is going to last. So I feel
and
for you right now,
without,
Harry.
You did it without an emoji hat? Like, how are you able to put it all together?
Parlay Kid's definitely on probably the best run he's been on. I feel like just overall for the last.
Yeah, I've been very solid. Very solid.
The only thing I got last month.
Finally, yeah, that extra points hat is doing something.
This is it. Extra points. The only thing I got wrong last night was Winston over 1.5 touchdown passes. And I thought he was going to get it late. I thought he was going to get one late. He was throwing.
I thought someone would score in that second half. I don't know what the hell happened.
Oh, that was
really, really, really weird to watch.
Barrett.
Bad game. All right. Well, you know what? I was leaning, Parlay Kid, I was leaning towards the Warriors pick because I feel like this RJ Barrett thing, he has like 8 with 2.5 minutes left. And you're on with Jerry Ferrara, and you're on with the Brother Bri, and you guys, what the hell's going on with this line? What's Tibbs doing? But I'll go with you. You've been red hot, right? RJ Barrett, over 14.5 points.
Sal, let's do it. I'm telling you. Okay. Look, Barrett, and this is year 3 for Barrett.
This was supposed to be his breakout season, coming off a year where he was averaging 17 and a half points. So this is his break, and he's not doing it. Game four now. It's time to step up. The Garden's going to be loud again. Barrett gets it done. Man, he might get this over by the first half.
Wow. Okay. All right, that's baseball. Hey, guys, the college football season's in full swing, and you can make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers get a $10 parlay bet bonus. Just place a $20 parlay bet and get a $10 bonus. Win or lose. College football, it's heating up. Lots of undefeated teams. Got Michigan State this week. Good, good, good stuff out there. Easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. Have your friends do it. My friends love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook, which is America's number one sportsbook. Fast withdrawals. When you win, you can get your winnings in as little as 2 hours. FanDuel is now live in Connecticut. Yes, sign up today with promo code Against All Odds, and you can receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code Against All Odds, so they know we sent you. Connecticut, baby. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan and the Tennessee Red Lines, 1-800-889-9789. West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. All right, it's time to talk candy. Coach Mike Leach, he was interviewed, and hats off to the interviewer. Enough of the what'd your team do right, what'd your team do wrong. Mississippi State coach Mike Leach gets on there, and he says he'll never give candy corn a second chance. I think we have a audio clip of that.
We talked about on the broadcast how you hate candy corn. What's your favorite Halloween
candy game? Corn. I mean, I completely hate candy corn. when I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.
All right, I love it. It's true. It's honest. It's different. And it's accurate. It's accurate. So I thought we'd put together our list of most, not list, we're just going to be in conversation here. Most overrated and underrated candy. And I'm with Coach there. Candy corn shouldn't even be a thing. It's sugared wax with fall colors. Like, whoever even put this on the market? Why would anybody want to try this? This is disgusting. That is my most overrated candy. Parlay Kid, go ahead, jump in there.
Most overrated. So, well, I was thinking about this before. Like, has your kid bought like an apple home? And remember we used to get apples and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Raisins. Raisins were big. Apples.
Oh, gosh. I swear I think people used to put like, nickels and dimes into some apples too sometimes. It was like a weird thing growing up.
Unless well, the razor blades was the one. And razor blades more too. Urban legend, but yeah.
It was more of an urban legend, but
cheap,
seriously, I remember
cheapos in Long Island.
Like nickels and dimes into the apple. I can't believe that. So, most overrated candy. Well, there's some bad Halloween candy. I'm not going to use this as my most overrated, but the things that, like, when you still see, like, Milk Duds available, like, stuff like that to me.
Yeah.
I just, that's a throwaway candy. Now and Laters, Good and Plenty's and stuff like that. Terrible type of candy. I'm going to just say probably the most overrated, you know, I don't know how much it's for Halloween candy, but probably candy in general. I guess kids get it. Skittles to me. Skittles get the thumbs down. Skittles get my thumbs down. It's just
I'm out.
The whole taste of rainbow garbage or whatever it is. The commercials with the that they used to put out with the kids having Skittles on their face, the All Skittles right. pox. Wow. I just, disgusting. I guess it's not chocolate. Give me any type of chocolate except Milk Duds. But yes, Skittles most overrated. Most overrated. Right.
Might be something else going on there. The Parlay Kid doesn't want to catch the rainbow. Marshawn Lynch would not be happy with the Parlay Kid right now. Our brother Brian, most overrated.
Yeah, it's funny. I give my daughter asks for Skittles before she plays basketball. Although I can kind of, I see what Parlay Kid's saying with some of the candy, it's hard to eat, you know. So I'll go, you know, I don't know. I guess the question is what's considered overrated, what's considered underrated. Some candy that I hate is anything like toffee related. I can't stand. But I will say like Butterfingers to me. I'm just never, I don't know. Is that considered an overrated candy?
I just like anything anyone says, Harry's shaking his head. There's no such thing as an overrated candy. I agree with Brian on
Harry shakes his hand. It shakes his head. It doesn't matter if he agrees or doesn't.
It's good exercise. All right. So what are you saying?
I'm just saying Butterfingers is overrated to me. I mean, if my kids ever get them in their Halloween bags, that's one of the candies I'm not
toss
eating.
Toss it aside.
It aside.
Yeah. Bart Simpson popularized it and now we're stuck with it. All right, Harry, you have, I know this is tough for you. What did you give away on Halloween as a kid? What did your family give away? I mean, I can't even imagine Halloween at your house. Your brother must have just gone through everything before by October 1st. Like what happened?
Of course. Oh yeah. Who knows? Who knows? But listen, overrated.
Yeah.
Listen, believe it or not, I know you wouldn't think so, but I didn't have a Snickers until I was like 5 years ago. Swear to God. Swear to God. Like I've never had a Big Mac, I've never had a Whopper, and I never had a Snickers. Swear to God.
Wait, you've had a Whopper since though, I feel like too, right?
No, never. No,
you still
never.
Have never
no.
had a Whopper?
Never had a Whopper.
You're too good. You gotta try it, Harry. You're too good for that.
Yeah, please. Stop with this crazy diet, Harry. Have a Whopper.
So come Snickers, on. No good. The peanut, the not that great. Now, my favorite candy bar, definitely with the Cookie Crisp, is the Twix. Very underrated. Yeah. Oh, no, delicious. You get that tip. But I will say Mike Leach's speech was tremendous. It was fantastic. I think the nerd clusters are good. Like he says, if you listen to deep into his conversation, nerd clusters are very good. Mm. But Darren, I'm sorry, but listen, Skittles are delicious, but more than they're just regular. If you're talking regular Skittles, maybe so, Darren, but the sour Skittles, nothing beats sour Skittles. They are tremendous. I can pound them. They're the best.
Doesn't Harry get like Skittles in his shakes or is that nerds? What kind of shakes do you have?
Nerds at Sonic, we get that is something too. You get the slushy, and you can get nerds in your drink at Sonic, and it is tremendous.
I think we're asking the wrong slob here. I really do. All right, I'm real quick because Sarah Tiana is in the waiting room. I'm going favorite, most underrated. Well, I'm a coconut guy, so you have to appreciate the simplicity. Shut up of Mounds shredded sweetened coconut dark chocolate. Almond Joy, if you don't like dark chocolate, whole almonds, robed in milk chocolate, beautiful, round, Mounds, and Almond Joy. Parlay Kid, real quick.
Most underrated, so I got two for you. Take 5 bars of super underrated chocolate, caramel, pretzel. Great underrated bar. And so I'm a peppermint patty guy. I do like the peppermint patties.
Not bad.
I think they're a little underrated, but those two. Take 5 peppermint patties. Love them both.
All right. Bri?
Yeah,
underrated.
I like those. Yeah, or Twix, not really underrated, although that's one of my favorites. Twix and peanut butter cups are the top two. Although I will say, I haven't had it in a while. I always loved the Rolo. I don't know why.
You could roll a Rolo to your pal. It's pretty good. I'm going to say something that we should bring Sarah in. Let's bring her in right now, by the way. It's enough candy talk. We'll ask her. All right, let's bring her in here. Georgia is always on her mind, especially when she's betting on its sports team. She still actually has a Chipper Jones fathead on her bedroom ceiling. One of our favorites, Sarah Tiana. What is going on?
Not my Chipper Jones fathead, thank you.
No, it's not?
He definitely has a fathead, but it's not on my ceiling, yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll get to the Braves and all that stuff in a second, but we're having a candy debate here. Real quick, most underrated, most overrated candy?
Underrated candy. I think Neckos are pretty underrated.
Ooh. Ugh.
Interesting.
Yeah,
the chocolate ones I like.
If they're rated at all, they're not underrated. Neckos, really?
Yeah, like they're pink, like wintergreen. You know,
isn't that the shit? Like they give that away at church, right? When you go, isn't that what's going on?
The yellow one is good. The yellow one's good.
The yellow Necco. Okay, the yellow Necco is underrated. No argument here. All right, what's overrated?
Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah,
sour. They're not sour enough.
Oh, they're not sour enough.
No.
She's right.
Yeah. Remember, they used to have like Warheads, and then they used to have these things called Shock Tarts, which I thought were way better. They were like a sour spree, and they got the job done.
So that's the most sour. All right. So I don't know what you'll be eating tonight and throughout the series. What's going on? What's the vibes in the Tiana house right now? Are you nervous, excited, confident for this Braves team?
I'm pretty nervous, but I'm also like not as nervous as I was with the Dodgers because now it just kind of feels like we're playing with house money. So I'm just happy to get over the Dodgers hump. And like anything that happens from here, I'll just be so excited that we at least got to the World Series, that Freddie Freeman got to play in a World Series. You know, obviously I want to win. I'm not saying I don't want to win. I definitely think we can win. Mm-hmm. I think we have the team. This is the best team that we have had in a really long time. I thought the team at the beginning of the season was the one. And it's so crazy how different it is from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
When Acuna went down, I think like everybody else, I was like, it's okay. It's not our year. It's okay. I won't even feel right winning without him. And now I'm like, see ya.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it's weird because you say it's all gravy from here, but you kind of had that when Acuna went down. It's like, all right, it's all gravy, whatever we can do. And then you beat the Dodgers. Like, all right, same thing. Not that you're going to root any, not as hard or fervent. Did your son Cage, I think he's only about two, but does he know this is pretty much make or break for the upcoming holidays for him? Does he realize the importance?
Yeah, he knows how frustrated we are. He can see it. He gets very upset, you know, because his dad's a Red Sox fan.
Right.
So there's been a lot of baseball on TV. There's been a lot of anxiety in the house. So everybody's feeling it here. And I've been really superstitious about it. Like, the Braves lost 12 out of 13 games in Dodger Stadium the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I think I've been there for 11 of those. So I refused to go to the games during the playoffs because I just didn't want to be. I would never forgive myself if I went and they lost. I would think. It was because of me. And people were like, they did not. And I'm like, I have the receipts. I've kept score. I have all the receipts. I can show you exactly who is pitching and when. So it was really hard too, because game five, those tickets were so cheap. Like Dodgers fans just completely bailed.
Right.
I mean, I paid $600 to sit next to the dugout during the season. And on game five, I would have paid $150.
Interesting. So you purposely stayed away because you knew you were bad luck. Like, I really hope your team appreciates what you've done for them. Like, I feel like you deserve more than the stupid fan who is going to become a crypto billionaire now because he was accidentally handed Tom Brady's ball. Like, I think the Braves should reimburse you or something, or at least acknowledge it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I hope, you know. The hardest part about being an Atlanta sports fan is like, I feel like they know they don't have to win because we'll still be fans next year. I'm sure it's what like them, you know, like being a Mets fan or being a Knicks fan feels like. It's like, no matter how much your team hurts you. So, they know you're coming back, you know, which is why I think it took the Cubs so long to win a World Series. You know, it's like, we're still going to sell all our season tickets.
That's
So when Bill Plaschke was writing all that bullshit about Atlanta fans sucking, it's like kind of hacky because we did that 1 year and it was like, I think year number 12 in a row that we had made the playoffs and then not advanced. And so it's like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't afford playoff tickets every year. And I'm certainly not going to go until we make the World Series. If I'm going to spend all this money, we're not Dodgers fans, we're not rich. I'm going to spend all this money to go to a playoff game. Like, I'm going to make sure it's the one I want to go to, which is the last one.
Right.
So
exactly.
Anyway, yeah. I think it's very difficult to be a fan, but I'll always be one. I don't care what they do to me.
You know, what's also difficult, explaining to people, Jock Peterson and this whole pearl necklace thing. Who wears pearl, like Jewish grandmas and, and Harry Styles? Who wears pearl necklaces? What's going on with this?
That's what's so great. He was also walking around with a glass of red wine after they clinched. I don't know if he saw that. And yes, he was just holding it by the stem. You know, so when Jacques came in the middle of the season, after Cooney went down, everybody has heard these stories about Anthopoulos just like not conceding, but he went out and got Soler. He got Rosario, who was hurt, who we wouldn't have for another month and a half. You know, he got Jacques. He got one more person. It was just like, apparently Jacques has like completely turned the clubhouse around. Like he's the reason that everyone is always funny, always in good spirits, always high. And I think, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Braves are very chain heavy. Everybody on the team wears lots of chains. They're very visible. There's two or three on them at once, you know? So I think that was just Jop kind of like trying to be like, hey, I got jewelry too. And like making everyone laugh and like keeping spirits high.
He's a very good dude. Big role. I spoke to him for about 10 minutes and he didn't need to talk to me for 9.5 of them. I don't know. It was really like a really good day. I met him at Dodger Stadium, but
nice.
Great clubhouse guy. I could definitely figure that out. All right. So now you're going to be watching these games. Do you have any superstitions when you're watching them?
No, I mean, I not anymore, like not normally, just against the Dodgers. I have a lot, which is like, I kind of like half watch the game. I'm actually going to Houston tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. So I'm flying my sister in to meet me. It was just too difficult logistically. Atlanta is a nightmare right now to try to get anything there. So I was like, my better option is to go halfway and go to Houston. So I'm flying my sister to Houston tomorrow. We're meeting up and going to the game. So.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. Yeah. All right. So, okay. So you're not going to be a Jinx. You're past the Dodgers, so you don't have to worry about that.
Anyway. Well, I am wearing the shirt. I'm wearing my Hank Aaron shirts right now that I was wearing. This is what I was wearing when they clinched. So I'll be wearing this shirt underneath all of my other Braves paraphernalia.
Yeah.
So that's really the only superstition. I really feel like this World Series is like the spirit of Hank Aaron. I just kept thinking like, you know, him and Dusty Baker played together for the Braves. Dusty didn't want to play with the Braves, but Hank Aaron convinced him to play. He didn't want to come to Atlanta during civil rights, which is obviously, you know, understandable. Right. And, you know, when Hank hit his home run, Dusty Baker was on deck. And he always talks about that moment about how, you know, Hank does the curtain call, everyone's going nuts, and then everyone left. And Dusty's like, and I hit a double and no one even noticed.
That's funny.
You know? And so it just kind of feels like the spirit of Hank Aaron is upon us in a really, which is says a lot because we beat Milwaukee to get here. We beat his former team, the Dodgers, to get here. And now here he is facing his best friend in the World Series. Right. So it kind of feels like our year just because of Hank.
And by the way, that home run was against the Dodgers, right? You weren't at that game, right?
I was not at that game.
You would have jinxed that. He would have still been trying to break the record, Babe Ruth's record. Yeah. Tom House called it in the bullpen. Yeah. That's a good one. Who was your Harry, the colossal coyote in the middle there? He was a Braves fan growing up. He switched allegiances, I think, since he moved to Arizona. He was a Dale Murphy guy. Who was your guy growing up?
Oh, yeah. Dale Murphy was my guy growing up. You know, he threw out the first pitch, I think, in game 2 or 3. He's getting on up there. He's a fun follow, but Dale Murphy was always my guy. I also really liked Bruce Benedict, but that's just because he was our catcher. I just liked the way he was introduced.
Eggs, baby, eggs.
Yeah, it was like the announcer would go Bruce, but you know, and when you're a kid, you're like, oh, that's cool. You know, like he was not great, but
I know you look at.
And then
stats.
I also really liked Mark Lemke, who always just felt like this guy that you're like, do you play, like if he told somebody he played baseball, people would be like, no, you don't. What do you really do? Like, what kind of insurance do you sell? So
yeah, you had some weird names, Bruce Benedict, Mark Lemke, right? Even
Jeff Blauser.
Jeff Blauser's good. Yeah. Now even your manager, Brian Snitker, like you really, put people out trying to pronounce some of them.
And his son is a coach on the Astros. So it's going to be a really cool series just because of that. Yeah.
All right, here's what I'm going to do, Sarah, because I know everyone's got to get out of here. I'm going to give you a $50 free bet. I will put $50 on a player to win MVP for you in your name. but and you'll get to pick it, but it has to be an Astro. No, it could be a Brave. Whoever you want.
Yeah, to be MVP of the World Series.
MVP of the World Series.
Hmm.
Do you want to see the? You want to know some of the odds first, or well, why don't you just say the name?
No.
Okay.
I think I'm going to say Soler.
Okay, Soler. There you go.
I think he's coming off of COVID, and I think he's anxious. And they showed a video of him taking BP in the stadium last night, and he hit one to the almost hit one out of the window.
Nice. All right. So here's what happens. Jorge Soler is 33-1 odds. So if you hit on this, I will be Venmoing. You have Venmo? You do, right?
Yeah.
$1,650 if he's MVP.
That pays for one of the tickets I bought.
Yes, I was just going to say. You could buy, you know how many Necros you could buy and just filter out the yellows there? All right, Sarah, thanks for coming on. You have anything to promote? You going out? You guys, aside from being in Houston, you'll be performing?
No, I'm not going to be performing. I do have a podcast that I'm producing called Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers, where Rick, who's like a crowd work comic, he interviews just people from Twitter and Instagram that I find that are not famous. And awesome. He basically does crowd work with them. And then I come in at the end and ask follow-up questions. We recorded at the Comedy Store. So it's a really fun, and anybody can be on it. Anybody listening, you can just DM Ingram Pod on Twitter, or Instagram, and you can be a guest.
Excellent. Rick Ingram Talks to Strangers. Does Don Barrison interfere with your recordings, or is he?
It doesn't matter if he's not there. Even by him being in the building, you're like,
right. You have to do it at 2:30 in the morning when you know he's on stage.
Yeah.
All right, Sarah. Good luck to you and the Braves and Jorge Soler. $1,650. That'll be good.
All right.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks.
Go Braves.
Bye. Go Braves.
Go Braves. Go Braves.
All right, she's great. Wow, now I see the problem is I already bet the Astros. I put in a lot of
money. She's a real Braves fan, Harry.
She really is, Harry. Yeah, she'll leave them.
Very impressive.
What happened? Once David Justice left, then Harry just jumped off the Braves. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was right around
when he went to the Yankees. That was it.
If not for him, the Yankees wouldn't have won in, I think, 98, right, Darren? If it wasn't for David.
Was it 98? Was it
98? 2000?
98 was Padres.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, it was.
Wait, what are you saying?
What? Yankees, Padres didn't win the World Series in 98.
No, they got swept by the
Yankees. They got swept by the Yankees. Wouldn't have made it there if it wasn't for David Justice.
Oh, I see.
The series before.
Babyface, you're saying 2000?
Yeah, and then there was the ALCS. Yeah, it was 2000.
Yeah, in 98, the Yankees dominated. That was a dominant.
All right. We learned a lot.
I don't know. I don't know what happened, actually. Baseball just, boring.
It's okay. You're suspended from Shark Tank. You have a lot of time to yourself. You could maybe pick another team if you Love want. It. There you go. I wanted to go over Fat Harry hockey names. There were a lot of submissions there. The Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. But we'll do that
there's
another
more?
Time.
There's more?
Of course there's more. Yeah.
Never
People can't get enough of this. There you go. So for the degenerate trifecta, Babyface Joel Solomon, Spaghetti and Meatballs, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping.